Juno Afternoon is made possible with support from Hanson Gress, delivering IT support for local businesses for over 15 years. My first guests today are here to talk about spare parts, this year's One Campus, One Book selection. Welcome UAS Public Services librarian Jonas Lamb and one of the high school students featured in the book, now a college graduate and U.S. Army veteran Oscar Vasquez.
Thanks, Scott. Nice to be here.
Thank you.
So, Jonas, if people don't know what the One Campus, One Book is, can you fill us in?
Sure. Yeah. So One Campus, One Book, we refer to it as a common reading program. It's a pretty, it's a best practice on sort of first year experience programming on college campuses, targeted at new students coming to college for the first time. If they all kind of read a common book, whether it's during the summer prior to coming to campus or when they arrive, maybe it's integrated into some of their classes. It's just a way that all of a sudden all these strangers at least have something in common. They can start a conversation with the stranger about the book.
So you eventually chose Spare Parts, and the author is Joshua Davis. This was a really interesting turn for me, though. Normally when the author is selected or their book, they will come to the campus. When you asked Joshua Davis, who we're actually going to speak to later in today's program, he said you should bring up Oscar.
I think that he likes the way we tell the story because it's kind of our lives, right? So it's, we're the raw person, and we have some of the details that he might not have in the book or some of the different perspectives that he might not be putting in the book. Some of the times we can communicate that with the students, right? Have a one-on-one conversation with them or just have a different perspective on it, right? So he has the author perspective. He sees us as, you know, this type of person, but we are just a normal person, in my opinion, right? And we can communicate that with the students sometimes. We can make that connection with them and just try to share a little bit of what we are with them in a more intimate manner.
And for our listeners, if they haven't had a chance to read Spare Parts, we have Oscar here, Lorenzo, Christian, Luis, the two teachers, Freddie and Alan. And you guys, this is back in like 2004. You guys have an underwater robotics team in Phoenix, Arizona. I don't think you guys had a swimming pool at your school. Is that right?
Well, there was one, a public swimming pool across the street, but not at the school, no.
And then you guys go on to compete in this collegiate, in Santa Barbara, this collegiate competition. And you guys actually, I don't want to spoil this.
But they fare well.
They fare well against MIT. And then, let's see, fast forward to 2014, he publishes this book. At first it was La Vida Robot, right, and Wired. Mm-hmm. That's when the story first came out. Then he gets to know you. 2014, the book comes out, and then a major motion picture with George Lopez, Marissa Tomei, Jamie Lee Curtis. It's quite a story. So, Oscar, thinking about that synopsis, what else would you add? What is this story about besides, you know, winning this competition against MIT? What is exemplified by your guys' actions?
I think it's a story of perseverance and ingenuity at the same time, right? So we came from very humble backgrounds in the area where we lived, and we just had to make do with what we had. So we ended up building this underwater robot with a budget of $800. So we had to be pretty ingenious in figuring out ways and finding resources that could help us build this thing with a budget, right? And I think that that's the perseverance story shows up a lot because we had quite a few challenges. We thought we broke the robot a bunch of times. We had a lot of different issues throughout the whole story. Not to mention our story of, you know, coming to the United States. And I think we just kind of figure out ways to deal with that. And I think that that's one of the biggest points of the story is just we stuck with it, we pushed through, and then in the end we got some of the results that we wanted. But that's just a little bit of that story. And I think that's the story that most people can relate to, right? Just persevering through hardship.
Right. Speaking of perseverance, Jonas, can you read that selection when Joshua's writing about Oscar here in Spare
sure.
Parts?
Yeah, and maybe just to frame this a little bit, this is a section describing Oscar's involvement in the youth ROTC program at his high school, Carl Hayden High. And this is a sort of a transformation passage here. His freshman year, ROTC transformed Oscar from a skinny 115-pound kid to a 140-pound dynamo. At the outset, he could barely manage a handful of push-ups, and his pull-ups were laughable. By his junior year, he could fire off 76 push-ups in a minute and do a set after set of pull-ups. He became the commander of the adventure training team, the most gung-ho cadre of cadets. They competed in wilderness races in which they had to haul 40 pounds of water up mountains and run with backpacks filled with sand. With Oscar rallying the team, they began to beat ROTC programs from much larger schools. Unlike other schoolwork, which often felt disconnected from life, ROTC felt real. When Goings explained how to apply bandages, he told the story of a friend who got shot in the leg and was able to keep flying his helicopter because the bullet missed his arteries. Goins had been in the infantry during the Vietnam War and infused his program with a deep sense of morality. At a time when immigrants such as Oscar were referred to as illegal aliens, Goins taught his students that the Declaration of Independence enshrined all people, not just American citizens, with unalienable rights. It was the most awesome, coolest thing ever, Oscar says. Goins felt that everybody should be called to serve in their community in some way. That's why he had joined the military, and that's why he continued to teach at Carl Hayden High after he had retired from the Army. But he knew that many of his charges couldn't enter the military. Since the Vietnam War, immigrants with green cards had been permitted to enlist, but students who crossed the border illegally were still citizens of their native country and couldn't join. Oscar didn't know that. He believed he was duty-bound to give back to the United States. He was receiving a free education, and his family was able to afford a home that didn't leak. The United States had been good to him, and he wanted to show his appreciation. He had only been in the United States for about 2 years, but he viewed himself as an American now, particularly after September 11, 2001. He felt that it was his obligation to defend and possibly even die for the country that was his new home.
How did Joshua do? Did he get that part right there, Oscar?
I think he captured Major Goins really well. And Major Goins made a huge impact in my life in those ROTC days. So I think Josh did a great job in summarizing that and capturing some of the motivating factors in my life. So, yes, he did awesome.
You know, in reading this book, and you touched on this, perseverance, you know, definitely you guys did very well against MIT. We won't spoil it. There in Santa Barbara as high schoolers, so you persevered for that. Tons of challenges. But then thinking about immigration and social equity and your perseverance to become a U.S. citizen. I felt like this book was very much about social equity and immigration. Can you speak to that a little bit?
So I can speak some of that because I lived through it, right? Growing up, being an immigrant child, for the longest time, you know, in middle school, early years of high school, there was no difference for me. I knew how I had come across the border. I knew that, you know, by comparison, our family was kind of poor compared to the other students around, especially those that didn't have green cards. But compared to how it was where I came from, I always thought that we had it pretty good. So I never really felt that we were, you know, poor in the United States, even though we really truly were at the time. And it just felt that way. And as far as you know, the sense of belonging and duty, right, I really didn't start to feel like I was an immigrant, an alien, until people started getting their driver's licenses. I think that was the first time when I noticed that I was different, right? I didn't have the right papers to go and get a driver's license. And then when it really struck home was when my junior year of high school, a lot of my friends went and enrolled in the early program for the military, for the Army in particular, and they were going over to basic training if the parents signed their papers. Well, I tried to go and enlist, and they told me, well, you can't do it because you don't have any papers. And I think that's really when it struck home that I was different, that even though I wanted to serve my country, I was missing a piece of paper that was going to allow me to do that. It was a difficult time in my life. I felt like I didn't have a purpose. You know, I didn't know what to make of it. And to tell a 17-year-old that just because they were born in a different, you know, they were born a few miles or several miles south of the border, they can't, you know, fight for their country. It was a hard time for me to deal with that.
I can imagine. And, you know, and there's a part in the book where you go back to Mexico after high school and you work down there, and it sounded, I believe you were away from your wife and child at the time. Yeah. I mean, it sounded like a brutal time.
After graduating from University of Arizona with honors and being recognized by President Barack Obama.
Right.
Yes. I graduated from Arizona State with a degree in mechanical engineering in 2009. And the immigration process is very convoluted. Part of the process was for me to go back to Mexico and apply for a green card. And that got denied once I went back because I had been in the United States for so many days. I forget what the number is after I turned 18. So they denied my green card. At the time, I had been married for several years, and I've had we had a one-year-old daughter. So essentially, I left my family in Phoenix. I went back to Mexico to apply for the green card. I got denied. We applied for a waiver citing, you know, my family. Essentially, my wife turned into a single mother. And, you know, she was going to face extreme hardship if it wasn't around. We thought that maybe the government would consider someone with an education, right? Had a mechanical engineering degree. Someone that could provide some value. And especially since I had a family already in the United States, that maybe it would make it easier for me to get a green card. Well, my green card application got denied. My waiver application got denied. And essentially, I had to stay in Mexico for 10 years. That was what the better that was. I had to wait out there until another green card came available, and I had to stay in Mexico for 10 years. That was devastating, right? Even though I was born in Mexico, I had spent, you know, many years in the United States, and by the time I went back, I was seen as a person, a foreigner out there as well. And it took a while for me to readapt to that change. The good thing was that by that point, I already had an engineering degree, so I was able to land several jobs out south of the border that were actually able to support myself while we waited. And it took about a year before Senator Dick Durbin actually told my story in front of Congress several times. And eventually Homeland Security, because of all that, of Senator Durbin telling my story in front of Congress, they looked into my case once again, and about a year later, I ended up getting a green card to come back to the United States. So it was a long process. I was separated from my family for a long time. My daughter, being so little, she would only see me about once every 2 months or so. And, you know, whenever she would see me, she would cry. She didn't want to be held by me because she didn't recognize me anymore. So there was some several hard times during that time. But just the fact and all the things that we learned from our teachers, my teachers were still supporting me when I was out there. They were still in communications with me all the time, telling me lessons, you know, just stick through this, we'll help you out. And it made it bearable. It made it easier. So it was great to come back to the United States. And you know, I remember coming back and having a green card. And about the first thing I did was go and get a driver's license, right? It was great. Second thing I did was I started looking into the military, and then like 5 months after I came back from Mexico, I actually enlisted, and I shipped over to basic training.
Oscar, I could talk to you all day, and thankfully you are coming to Juneau here in a couple weeks. We are so looking forward to that. Can you outline for us, Jonas, the Power and Privilege Symposium out at UAS?
Sure. So for those that are interested in hearing Oscar speak some more and tell a story, he's going to be presenting the afternoon keynote at the UAS Power and Privilege Symposium, which happens on Tuesday, November 5th. And it is an all-day free teach-in or symposium featuring there's three keynotes throughout the day. There's breakout sessions throughout the day. They're actually, I think, still accepting proposals from the community. If you have a presentation or a conversation that you'd like to start around equity, inclusion, power, and considering the privilege that you might have in your state or be denied of or not have access to. So it's a great event. This will be the third year, I believe, that it's happening. It runs all day from 8 a.m. to 7 in the evening. It includes lunch for participants. And yeah, Oscar's keynote will be at 1 o'clock. And the evening keynote is actually, I was pretty amazed to see that Judy and Dennis Shepherd from the Matthew Shepherd Foundation, they'll be the keynote speakers.
And we'll definitely be talking more about the Power and Privilege Symposium as we get closer to it here on Juno Afternoon. In the meantime, pick up Spare Parts, this book by Joshua Davis. And we are going to speak to Joshua here next on the show. I got mine at Hearthside Books. I couldn't put it down. It's a great read. You'll learn all about Oscar Vasquez and his team and the amazing teachers that they had and mentors and everything that we've been talking about. This lasts for the whole year. People will be reading this, or is this the fall semester, Jonas?
The bulk of the programming will be during the fall semester. For folks that are looking to get at the book quickly, if you go to the Alaska Digital Library, there's about 25 ebook copies available that people have been cycling through pretty quick. So you can check those out for free with your library card. We'll look for opportunities for events in the spring term, but primarily in the fall. But I've heard community book clubs are talking about this. If you're talking about it in your book club, I'd love to hear about it. You can give me a call out at UAS.
That's Jonas Lamb at Spare Parts. Oscar, thinking about our listeners right now as they go to pick up this book and read it, what should they look for as they dig into this? What do you hope they'll take from it?
I think that they should just, think of, immigrants and just think of all the things that, just think of us as people. I think that sometimes we get kind of demonized in the media. And I think that if they just think of us as normal people trying to get a better life and, wanting to do the same things everybody wants, right? A better future for their children and their families. And I think that makes it easier sometimes to have a conversation, especially around all the issues that we're having around immigration. If you just think about, we were little kids, we didn't know any better, and the things that we were able to do at the time. So just another immigrant story. The U.S. is full of those. Right. And I think it's just great to have an open mind when it comes to that.
Oscar Vasquez, thank you so much for your time today. We look forward to your visit to Juno as part of the Power and Privilege Symposium. Jonas Lamb from UAS, thank you for coming in and talking to us today. And let's all go pick up Joshua Davis's Spare Parts and give it a read.
Sounds good. Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
And I was at the immigration scene, shining and feeling clean. Could it be a sin? I got stopped by the immigration man. He said he'd done.